Good morning, everyone. How's everyone feeling this fine Sunday morning? It's good to see this place is packed out. It's really exciting. We need extra chairs up the back. That's really good. My name's Tim. I'm one of the pastors here, along with Hans, who played guitar for us earlier. And I have the privilege of talking to us today about family. Like Bobby already mentioned, we're doing a series where we're exploring what people have said is most important in life. And one of the top responses was family. Now, when I spoke to people, and I spoke to a lot of people about this, those who answered straight away, those who just had the answer on the tip of their tongue ready to go, their answer was family. So those who feel like family is most important, it seems like they already have a sense in their life of what's important, and it's family. A lot of the other responses are, I suppose it's this, I suppose it's that. But for family, people already had a sense that it was really important. So I'm really excited to be talking to you today about family. I'm really excited to be looking at what the Bible has to say about family. But God is in control and God is sovereign. So how about I pray and ask for God's help as we do this? Let's pray. Father, we know that you're a good God. And we're so thankful that we can call you Father. Today, will you give us sharp minds, attentive minds, so that we might discern the truth. Help us to think realistically about the words of Jesus in the Bible and what family is and its place in our life. And so, Father, I pray that we'd come away today having a better sense of the good gift that family is and the even better gift that Jesus is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me tell you about Catherine Brokaw. Catherine Brokaw, she studied at Princeton. She studied classics at Princeton. When she realized that classics wasn't going to get her a good job, she then went on to study law at Columbia. After that, she landed a job at one of the top law firms in New York City. She worked there for a number of years. She got married while she was there. But her husband was offered a job in Atlanta. And she thought, if I'm going to start a family, why don't we move to Atlanta? Because I'll be able to live 10 minutes from work. It'll make family life much easier. So the whole family got up and moved to Atlanta. A few years later, she gave birth to her first child. And so after 3 months of maternity leave, where she always had access to a work email on her laptop for that whole 3 months, she went back to work full-time as she planned. And for the first weeks, months, it went really well. She had a light load. She was able to balance work and family until May. And when May came, one of her big cases that she was in charge of got moved up. So she would have to go to court in mid-August. She had 3 months to prepare. So for the next 3 months, she worked 15-hour days, 7 days a week. Finally, when the case came, she was prepared, but she was exhausted. 15-hour days, 7 days a week for 3 months. I can imagine she'd be exhausted with a newborn at home, can't you? The morning of her case came, and the judge delayed it to the end of the week. But by the time the end of the week rolled around, the judge had postponed it indefinitely. 3 months of barely seeing her child down the drain. She didn't know when she was going to come back to do this case. Why was it benched? Well, she found out the judge wanted to take some time off to go fishing. One night, she was talking to her husband about this, and she was like agonizing over the pain of working so hard and not being at home and things like that. And her husband asked her, you know, what do you want? She said, I want to become a partner at the law firm. And he said, well, does that make life better for you or worse? She's like, well, financially, it makes things much better. But in terms of real life, worse. And so the next day, she quit her job and decided to stay at home full-time to care for her child, which would then become children. This story comes from an article from the New York Times in 2003, and the whole article is interviewing women who have left the workforce, really highly educated women. We're talking lawyers, newspaper editors, women with MBAs who've been working for years. They leave work to raise families. These women, they had a choice between career and family, and they chose family. Now, not every woman chooses this, and that's totally all right, but it shows something about family. Family is really significant. Family is a really significant part of these women's life. It's a significant part of our life. You know, we live in an area where family is significant. There are schools everywhere. There are parks everywhere. I used to never know, like, recognize where a park was until I had kids. And now, not only do I know where every single park is within a 15-minute radius of my house, I know which ones Sam likes and I know which ones he doesn't. I know which ones I want to go to and which ones will work for my younger son, Luke, which is to say anyone with shade for him because he doesn't really leave the pram. You know, family is so significant, not just to mums, but also to dads, to brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, aunts and uncles. Family is such an important part of our lives. In fact, you might be here today specifically because family is an important part of your life, and you saw online that we're talking about family and things like that. Research this year, they researched about coronavirus and how it's affected people and things like that. And it said 52% of people had spent more time with their family this year because they've been working from home. And they actually wanted to continue doing that into the future. They actually enjoyed spending more time with their family because family is important. Now, our question today isn't about whether family is important or not. I think that's self-evident. We all feel like family is important. The question is it the most important thing? Is it the most important thing in life? And as we talk about what's most important, it's helpful to talk about things that fulfill us and things that last. Because if something's going to be the most important thing in our life, you'd hope that it would fulfill us, that it'd make our life feel complete, that it'd make our life feel worthwhile. And you'd hope it'd last, that it wouldn't just disappear into vapor in the coming weeks and months and years. So the question is, does family do that? Does it fulfill us? Does it last? We're going to look at those things together. So how about we get straight into our first point? And the first thing to say is that God thinks family is really, really important. In fact, family is a good gift from God. God has given us family. Lots of us have many joyful experiences of family. Lots of us have many painful experiences of family. But you know the joy of the safety and comfort of when we were a kid with our parents and how they would make us feel warm and loved and safe. We know the joy of our bond with our brothers and sisters or our cousins and our aunts and uncles. We know the excitement of seeing our kids grow up and learn to do new things. And I mean, what's cuter than this? A black screen. What's cuter than this? Am I right? What a great joy. Sam got that guitar for Christmas and he's already better than Hans. And Luke in the sunglasses just looks really cool. There's nothing cuter than kids, isn't there? All right, you can get rid of that. Maybe there's nothing cuter than my kids. To me. What about Robert Carter? Let me tell you about Robert Carter. He's a 29-year-old American. Last October, he adopted 5 kids at once. 5 kids in one go, all between the ages of 4 and 10. Robert Carter, he grew up in the foster system, and he knew the pain of the foster system, of moving between families. And so when he saw these foster kids who had been split up, right, the boys were with one family, the girls were in another, he decided, well, I can make them a family again. And he adopted all 5 at once. Imagine being those kids. Imagine those 5 kids. Now they're not guessing which family they'll go to next. They know they'll be together and they'll be loved by their new father. After the adoption ceremony, Robert went off to the bathroom and was found crying. And someone asked him, you know, what's wrong? He's like, nothing's wrong. I just get to be with them for the rest of their life. They never have to worry about being neglected or alone again. We're now a family. Family brings so much joy and warmth. And you see it when a new family is made, like right there. And you know, all this is by design. God made family. And he made it to be good. In Genesis 2, which is the first book of the Bible, we see God creating the world. And he creates everything. He creates the trees, he creates the rivers, he creates the sea, and he creates people, and then he creates family. Have a look at these verses. They're coming up on the slide from Genesis chapter 2. Perfect. I'll read them. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Here we see God bringing the first family ever together. He says, a man will leave his father and mother and they'll become a new family. And he made it to be good. That last sentence, they were naked and felt no shame. Complete vulnerability and intimacy. No fear. Just love together between a husband and a wife. Family is so good. And so is the blessing of children. Listen to Psalm 127. This is a psalm I like to tell my wife, which she doesn't like me to quote to her. And a psalm is just a song written for God's people to sing to him. Have a look at it. It's on the screen there for you. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward for him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Now I'm just imagining a little army of my children defending me in court. But what a great blessing and joy children are, aren't they? Maybe, you know, depending on how big your quiver is, maybe not like 15 of them, but children are a great gift of God. Family is a good gift from God. And because God made families, he cares deeply about families. He cares deeply about them. Jesus, which the Bible tells us is God himself, God in human flesh, the Son of God, in Matthew chapter 19, talks about family. Matthew is one of the four accounts of Jesus' life we have in the Bible. And have a look at these words he says as he's speaking about divorce. And he picks up the same words we just read in Genesis. They're coming up on the slide again for you. Oh, these guys at the back, they know what they're doing. They're good. Jesus says, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" Jesus, God, cares so deeply about families that he designed them not to break apart. He cares that they stay together because God made them. Now, the Bible does give provisions for divorce in extreme cases, unfaithfulness, abuse, things like that. But that's not the design. They're there to help escape bad situations, but that's not the way marriage is designed. That's not the way families were designed. They were there designed to be a great joy and a great gift, united together. God cares deeply about family because family is a good gift that he's given us. And this brings me to my second point. As good as family is, as good a gift as it is, it can't fulfill us and it will not last. Remember at the start I said what's most important ought to fulfill us and to last? Well, as much as we'd like it to, family can't do either of those things. This side of Christmas, we might already have a sense of that. You know, Christmas, family comes together. That's when old wounds come out and people don't talk, or people talk too much and there's fights and there's screaming and shouting. But there are other kinds of brokenness in families. I come from a very broken family. When I was a child, 11 or 12 years old, my parents split for the last time. I remember the months after it, and even the years after it, just wondering when Dad was going to come back. You know, Dad always came back. Yeah, Mum and Dad would fight. He'd disappear for a month or two, but he'd come back. So when's he going to come back? And then slowly I began to realize, oh, he's not coming back. This is it. That's the last time. Now my family is split into two, not one. You know, I also remember my older brother when he was a teenager. After my parents split, he was a teenager, and like all teenagers, he fought with my mum. And I remember I'd lie in bed at night and I'd hear every word they said because they weren't really discussing things very quietly. They were loud, in fact. And I would lie in bed and I would just be pleading with God, please don't let my brother run away. Because in my kid mind, that felt like the solution that he would choose. And I'd be saying, please don't let my brother run away. Please don't let him run away. You see, I come from a very broken family, and I know people in here feel the same pain that comes with family. Maybe it's not broken by divorce. Maybe it's abuse or disappointment or failure or fighting or differences of opinions that have gone too far. And so the problem with family isn't a problem with family itself. It's a problem with people in the family. It's a problem that comes from within our own hearts, which means family can't be perfect. It cannot last forever. Family can't fulfill us because it's full of broken people. The Bible talks about the problem of sin. It's a disease that's infected our hearts. Much like coronavirus and COVID is a disease that infects people, sin is a disease that infects our hearts. But it's affected everyone. Everywhere is a hot spot. And it sours all of our relationships. If you aren't convinced that you're infected with sin, just think of your relationships in the last 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And tell me that you honestly can't remember a time where you've said words that would intentionally hurt someone you love. Where you haven't said something harsh or a lie just to hurt someone. Where does that stuff come from? Well, it comes from our hearts. Because you, like me, and every human ever, are infected with sin. And so that means family can't fulfill us because families will break. Families are susceptible to the broken relationships of sin. And if your family relationships don't break, they won't last because of death. Family cannot last. Family cannot fulfill. But you know what? It was never meant to fulfill us. Family was never meant to be the thing that fulfilled our lives. You know that article I spoke about earlier? 10 years later, the New York Times interviewed some of the same women. And they wrote a whole new article about it, and they did another piece. And you know what they found? Those women who left the workforce to care for their families deeply regretted it. They felt like all their time with their family meant they missed out. They missed out on something. They felt like their family hadn't fulfilled them, and they would have been better off at work. Better off climbing the corporate ladder. Better off going to the top of their fields. They wish they'd continued at work. What happened? What happened? Why the change? Why were they not fulfilled? Well, because family's not meant to fulfill us. Work is also not meant to fulfill us. If they'd stayed at work, they would have felt just as empty. What is meant to fulfill us is a relationship with our God. A relationship with our Creator. God made us. He gave us the gift of family. He gave us the gift of marriage, of children, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. But He never intended them to fulfill us. He never intended us to make them the most important thing in our life. God made us to find fulfillment in Him, in having a relationship with Him. But that problem of sin, which breaks all our relationships, also breaks our relationship with Him. It infects our hearts and breaks up our family, and it also spoils our relationship with the Creator. And so we look for fulfillment elsewhere, not with God. We're cut off from the one who brings us fulfillment, and we're left to fill the gaps with other things that don't quite fit. As good as they are, they can't fulfill us. So this brings me to my last point today. God restores us by adopting us. God restores us by adopting us into His family. You see, God wasn't just content to let us suffer forever. God wasn't content for us to look for fulfillment everywhere but with Him. God wasn't content to let the sin that infected us just consume us and destroy us so that we would have to face His judgment and punishment forever. No, God loves us. God wants us to be with Him. And so He sent His Son Jesus into the world to make a way for us to be restored. And this is where that Bible passage that David read for us earlier comes into play. If you have a Bible in front of you, open up to Galatians chapter 3. If not, it'll come up on the screen again. Now, Galatians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote it to the churches in a region of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And this is what he says. Come with me to chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. We'll just read the last bit of that reading from earlier. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you an heir. Now, it talks a little bit about law and enslavement in there. Let me just explain that quickly so that you can understand where we're coming from. The law here that it's talking about is God's perfect law that He gave His people to fulfill. But the problem was because they had a broken relationship with God. Because of the infection of sin in their hearts, they couldn't fulfill the law the way God had intended them to. In fact, God had never intended them to fulfill the law. He intended to use the law to show them that he's good and that he wants to send his son Jesus. And so because they couldn't fulfill the law, God had to send his son as a new way to set them free from the law. And so now we're redeemed. The word there is redeemed. We're set free from captivity to this law that they could never fulfill, that we could never fulfill. To be what? Not redeemed to just go off and live a happy life, but redeemed to be adopted. Adopted into God's family. Adopted to sonship. It kept talking about sons there. Sons and daughters is how we can think about it. God makes us his sons and daughters. If we trust in Jesus, we're his sons and daughters. We've been set free from the consequences of sin because Jesus has taken those consequences on himself and he's adopted us into his family. He's clothed us in Christ so that we're now just like his son. Jesus is our brother. God is our father. Our earthly families that were never meant to fulfill us, they just point to the family that we can now be a part of. Our earthly fathers show us what point to God as our true good father. Jesus is our brother. God is our father. That's where fulfillment lies, in that family, in a true relationship with God, the perfect family, because God perfectly loves us. God isn't infected with sin. He can restore us. He gives his son for us. And so here's where the rubber hits the road for us. I've got three things. That's four. I've got three things. Firstly, knowing that you are made for God and to be in relationship with him, a part of his perfect family, you're free from finding fulfillment in family or in any of those other things that don't fulfill. You have a heavenly father who loves you and gave his son for you and calls you back and says, come to me and I will perfectly fulfill you. And so when your family hurts you, when they disappoint you, when your family breaks, as painful as that is, your whole world won't come crashing down because your fulfillment is in God, not in your family. As good as family is, if our fulfillment is there, when it breaks, our world will be shattered, but not if our fulfillment is in God. Secondly, knowing the perfect love of our Father, knowing the sacrifice of our brother Jesus, it actually enables us to be better members of our family. We have the perfect example of fatherhood with God. And so that enables me to be a better father. We have the perfect example of a brother in Jesus. And that enables me to be a better brother. But it enables mothers to be better mothers, sons to be better sons, daughters to be better daughters and sisters and all those things because we know what perfect love looks like. When we see how we've been adopted into God's good family, we can be better in our family. We can love more. We can care more. We can sacrifice more. We can be a better husband or wife, sister or brother, auntie or uncle, because we are part of the perfect family. And so firstly, we're free from having family try and fulfill us. Secondly, we are now better members of our family knowing God's love. But thirdly and lastly, if you don't yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't find fulfillment anywhere else. You can't be a better member of your family. And you can't have the curse of sin taken from you. You need to come to Jesus to have the most fulfilling life. And so I really want to encourage you, keep coming to church. Keep investigating these things. Keep exploring what the Bible has to say about Jesus and sin and life and death. Come to Introducing Jesus, which Bobby mentioned earlier. We're starting that up in a month and a bit, and would love to see so many people there explore Jesus and explore the claims of the Bible. And if you have friends that you know want to explore these things, invite them along and bring them with you. Keep coming to church and explore these things. Come to Introducing Jesus and explore these things. Just whatever you do, don't let this just wash over you. Don't just go, yeah, that was nice, and then ignore it. Because it's not going to hurt you to explore these things. But if they're true, it will hurt deeply for you to miss out on these things. Don't let it wash over you. Our families are a good gift from God. but they cannot fulfill us. They bring great joy, they bring love and warmth, but they also can bring great pain and hurt. And so turn to God. Turn to our good God who adopts us into his perfect family. And that's where you'll find fulfillment. Let me pray to finish. God, we are so thankful that we can call you Father because you have adopted us. We are so thankful that through your Son, Jesus, dying and taking the punishment for sin we deserve, we can now be part of your perfect family. Father, help us to continue to find our fulfillment in you and not in all those other earthly things, as good as they are. And Father, help us to be the best members of the family we can be, knowing the love that you have shone in our hearts. Father, may this message not wash over us today, but may it transform us so that we might come to you and find our fulfillment in you. Amen.